Okay, think about a big modern building. What's really controlling the hidden stuff? The ventilation, fire safety, deep inside the infrastructure. We're not talking about the thermostats on the wall. We're going way deeper into the actual motors, the valves that manage airflow or, smoke in an emergency.
Exactly. And today we've got this really interesting set of sources, very technical stuff, product manuals, company profiles, all for a company called Enlinida Automation. Our job really is to sift through these specs and figure out what makes their different products tick. What's the difference between their air actuators and their ball valves for fluids? And also, how do they operate globally? We'll look at a key partnership they have.
Right. So let's start with Enlinida itself. Who are they? It sounds like they're not just a local player.
No, definitely not. It's set up as a Sino-British joint venture based in Beijing, but that British part is key. They specialize in electric damper actuators and these control ball valves.
Sino-British. So combining expertise, maybe.
That's the impression, yeah. Leveraging perhaps British engineering know-how with Chinese manufacturing scale, but their focus, it seems, is really on quality. High quality, innovative, and they really push the energy efficient angle. Plus, look at the certifications they list. CE, UKCA, UL. These aren't trivial.
Right, those are major international standards.
Exactly. And they have ISO quality and safety systems too. It signals they're building these things for serious, demanding projects worldwide.
Okay, so global ambitions need global reach.
Yeah.
You mentioned a key partnership. How do they get these high-spec products into a major market like the Middle East? Who's their partner there?
Ah, yeah, that would be a company called Falabi Contracting and Business Company. They're based in Muscat, Oman, and they've been around for a while, over 4 decades, so serious experience in the region.
40 years, wow. And their role with Enlinida.
This is crucial. Falabi is the exclusive and official representative for Enlinida, not just a representative, but the representative across the whole Middle East.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big deal. So Enlinida isn't trying to manage multiple distributors in that region.
Seems not. It suggests a strategy of consolidation. One strong partner for technical support, supply chain, local know-how, especially in a region with huge, fast-paced construction.
Makes sense. And what does Falabi actually do with these Enlinida parts?
They specialize in the bigger picture. Intelligent control solutions, building management systems, smart controls. Basically, integrating Enlinida's actuators and valves into large-scale projects to boost, well, energy efficiency and performance.
So these components aren't just standalone bits. They're part of a whole building's operational strategy.
Precisely. That partnership really grounds the technical specs in real-world application.
All right, let's dive into those specs then. Starting with the core product line, the EA700 damper actuators. These are for air control and standard HVAC systems, right?
Yeah, the EA700 family. That's
Yeah.
your workhorse for HVAC ducts, general air movement control. And when you look at them, the main things that change between models are torque, basically, power voltage, and the type of control signal they use.
Gotcha. But they must share some basics.
Oh, yeah. They all have IP54 protection,
Teeny.
protection against dust ingress and water splashes. Pretty essential for surviving inside an air duct, And they're built to last. The specs mention a life cycle of over 70,000 rotations. Standard movement is 0 to 90 degrees.
Okay. And the control types, you mentioned that varies.
Right. You've got your basic B type, which is just on-off control, simple, or two-point, three-point floating control. But then there's the M type that's for modulating control. It takes an analog signal, like 0 to 10 volts or 4 to 20 milliamps for, much finer positioning of the damper.
Okay, so basic on-off or precise adjustment, but you mentioned trade-offs. What's the interesting engineering bit here?
It's how they balance power, speed, and noise. That's where you see the different subseries within the EA700 line.
Okay, lay it out for us. Standard model first.
Right, the standard EA700s.
Right.
They cover a wide torque range from a small 2 newton meters up to a hefty 40 endebirds. Running times vary. The 2 endebirds takes about 35 seconds. The big 40 meters takes 100 seconds. Noise level is around 45 decibels.
45 dB, like a quiet office, maybe? Noticeable hum?
Yeah, something like that. But what if that's too loud, say for a library or a hospital room?
Then you need something quieter.
Exactly. So you look for the models with an L suffix. That's the low noise series. And they make a big difference. Noise drops way down to 35 dB. That's really quiet.
Okay, 35 dB is impressive, but what's the catch? There's always a catch.
Speed, definitely
Right.
speed. To get that quiet operation, the running time goes way up. That 5 N-meter standard model took 45 seconds, right?
Yeah.
The low noise 5 N-meter version takes 150 seconds.
Wow, three times longer. Is that acceptable in an HVAC system?
Well, that's the design choice, isn't it? If you need absolute quiet in a sensitive space like a recording studio, maybe that slow response is fine. Acoustic comfort wins. But for a large dynamic system needing quick temperature changes, 150 seconds might be way too slow.
Okay, so quiet but slow. What about the other extreme? Speed.
Ah, yes. For that, you look for the Q suffix. The fast running series?
Q for quick.
Pretty much. These are all about rapid response. Torque is limited, only up to 16 nanometers, but the speed is, well, it's fast. A 5-nanometer Q model does its 90-degree turn in just 2.5 to 3.5 seconds.
Whoa. Compared to 45 seconds for the standard, that's incredible.
It is. Even the 16-nanometer one is done in under 8 seconds. So if you need to slam a damper open or shut now, this is the one.
But I bet it's not quiet.
Not at all. Noise levels jump up to the 55, even 60 dB range. It's the price you pay for that speed. Speed is the priority here, full stop.
Okay, that speed focus leads us neatly into the next series, doesn't it? The EF-800. Because here, speed, or at least reliable action, becomes about safety.
Exactly. The EF-800 series shifts focus entirely from, say, energy efficiency or comfort to life safety, fire protection, smoke exhaust systems. That's their job.
Critical applications. And the key mechanism seems to be the spring return feature. Why is that so important? Let's talk about the EF-800S models.
Right, the AF-800S models. Think about a fire scenario. If the building loses power, you need that smoke damper to go to its safe position immediately, right? Open or closed, depending on the strategy.
Makes sense. Power failure can't compromise safety.
Precisely. The spring is the mechanical failsafe. The motor uses power to, say, open the damper against the spring tension. The specs show this motor might take up to, like, 70 seconds. But if that power cuts out, the energy stored in the spring takes over. The spring return time is fast, typically under 30 seconds. Snap. The damper goes to safe.
So it's like storing energy mechanically for that emergency moment.
That's exactly what it is, a reserve of kinetic energy. That's why they're vital for these systems.
And some have a thermal sensor link, too, the AVST.
Mm-hmm. Some AS models have that auxiliary function. Allows the damper to react to high temperatures directly, not just waiting for an electrical signal from the fire alarm system. Another layer of safety.
What about the non-spring return ones, the EF-800N?
They exist, yeah. Go up to higher torques, like 40 ammeters. But without the spring, you're relying entirely on the electrical system, maybe a backup power supply like a UPS, to move the damper in an emergency. They lack that instant physical backup.
Got it. Okay, we've covered air pretty well. Let's switch systems. What happens when Enlinita applies this actuator tech to controlling fluids, the electric-controlled ball valves?
Right. Move from air in ducts to typically water, steam, or glycol mixes in pipes for HVAC heating and cooling circuits. The challenge changes.
How so?
Well, now the actuator isn't just fighting air resistance. It's controlling the flow of a liquid under pressure. It has to manage flow rates precisely.
And the valves themselves need different characteristics, I assume?
They do. The manuals mention equal percentage flow characteristics. That's important for control.
Equal percentage. What does that mean practically?
It means basically that each increment of valve opening changes the flow rate by a consistent percentage of the current flow, not by a fixed amount. It gives you much finer control at low flow rates and avoids sudden surges at high flow rates. Better for stable temperature control.
Ah, okay. More nuanced control across the range. And they handle different control signals, too.
Yep, standard stuff. Switch control, on-off, floating point, and continuous adjustment, similar to the modulating damper actuators.
Looking at the codes, I see 2 and 3. That's just 2-way versus 3-way valves, right? Directing the flow path?
Correct. 2-way for simple shutoff or throttling. 3-way usually for mixing or diverting flow between circuits.
Let's talk scale. How big do these pipes get? And what kind of pressure are we dealing with?
Okay, so pipe sizes are given in DN, which is diameter nominal. They go from small, DN15, all the way up to quite large, DN150. And the pressure rating depends on the size. The smaller valves, DN15 up to DN50, are rated for 2.0 megapascals or MPa. The bigger ones, DN65 to DN150, handle slightly less, 1.6 MPa. Still significant pressure.
That range, DN15 to DN150, that covers everything from maybe a small zone loop to a major building riser, right?
Absolutely. And to give you a sense of the flow capacity, the largest model listed, B2150A, has a KVH rating of 260.
KVH flow coefficient. What does 260 mean in real terms?
It means that valve, fully open, can pass 260 cubic meters of water in 1 hour. That's a lot of water. Think of like a small swimming pool's worth flowing through that pipe every hour. Can you huge capacity.
Wow, okay. And you mentioned Fulabi earlier. Is there anything specific for installers in that region? Connection types?
Yes, good point. The manual notes that the smaller sizes, DN15 to DN50, use BSPP threads, British Standard Parallel Pipe thread. That's a key detail for an installer in, say, Ullman, making sure the valve matches the standard pipe fittings used there. Important for that exclusive partnership with Fulabi.
Right, those little details that save huge headaches on site. Let's dig into more of those installation-friendly features. What else makes life easier for the technician in the field?
Well, on the standard EA700 actuators, there's something called an SW1 dial switch. It's right there on the circuit board.
A physical switch, what does it do?
It lets the installer configure the control signal type on the spot. Say the building controller sends out a 0 to 5 volt signal, but the actuator is set for 0 to 10 volts by default. Instead of needing some external converter box, the tech just flips this little dial switch and boom, the actuator now understands the 0 to 5 volt signal. Super handy.
Ah, so it adapts to the control system easily, reduces parts needed, reduces errors. Nice.
Exactly. And there's physical adjustability too.
Yeah.
Especially on those spring return models, you can actually adjust the end stops, the limiting angles, with just a screwdriver.
So you can fine-tune exactly how far the damper blade travels.
Yep. Prevent it from slamming into the duct wall or not closing fully. You can set the range, maybe limit it to only move between, say, 10 degrees and 80 degrees instead of the full 0 to 90. Gives you precision.
And rotation direction.
Yep.
Sometimes things get mounted upside down.
They thought of that too. There's a simple direction knob on the unit. Clockwise, counterclockwise. If it's installed weirdly or needs to turn the opposite way to what's standard, you just flip the knob. No rewiring, no remounting.
Okay, seems like they put some thought into the installer experience. Before we wrap up, let's just hammer home those safety and disposal warnings again. They seemed important in the manuals.
They really did. Repeated warnings.
They did.
First, this stuff needs to be installed by trained personnel, people who know HVAC controls. Messing with electrical connections or safety interlocks is dangerous.
Makes sense. Not a DIY project.
Definitely not. And second, for everyone listening, these actuators and valves have electronic components inside. They're not regular household trash. They fall under e-waste regulations and need proper disposal.
Good reminder. Don't just toss it in the bin.
Please don't.
So, reflecting on this, we've gone from that high-level Sino-British structure and the Fulabi partnership in Oman right down into the guts of these devices, the quiet versus fast actuators, the fail-safe spring returns.
Yeah, and seeing how the function dictates the engineering, it's not just about power. Is it for quiet comfort? Use the L model. Accept the slow speed. Is it for life safety? Spring return is non-negotiable. Speed. Go for the cue and deal with the noise.
It's fascinating how a seemingly simple component like an actuator is actually highly specialized for its specific job in the building.
It really is. The choice impacts everything from energy use to acoustic environment to, well, safety. Which kind of brings us to a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Given what we've uncovered about these trade-offs, especially running time versus noise level, how would your whole approach change? Think about designing an HVAC system for, say, a hospital operating room. You need sterility, precise air pressure, maybe rapid air changes, but also near silence, right? How different would your component selection be there compared to just a standard open plan office building?
Yeah, the requirements are totally different. Silence and speed might be equally critical, but in conflict.
Exactly. The specific environment changes everything about the engineering choices you have to make. Something to think about.